My goodness, I want to talk to you this morning about a trusting heart. We've been in a series, Matters of the Heart. There's a scripture that says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I want to, this message this morning is Father's Day, and I want to talk to the fathers, but I think it's really a message that applies to all of us. It's about a heart condition. There's a guy in the Old Testament, his name was Jacob. And Jacob was, his daddy was Esau, and Esau's dad, or Jacob's, Abraham, Isaac. Isaac was Jacob's daddy. Then Abraham was Isaac's daddy. So when Abraham was there, God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. So we're talking about a father here of many nations, and he's really talking about the children of Israel. And you'll find out later on in this story that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so Israel is the nation that we see now, but even through Abraham, it says that we are sons and daughters because as Gentiles, we have been adopted into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we are God's chosen people, but we are all descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And he promised Jacob that he would be the father and his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. So it's an interesting deal. The problem that I found with Jacob was that he was kind of a, he was kind of a rascal. I mean, like, Jacob had some issues. And I'm like, if I was God, I'm sure you've never said that before, have you? If I was God, I probably wouldn't have chose Jacob. But there's a great story here, and I believe it's a story that we can all relate to as matters of the heart, because the heart of Jacob, something had to happen. Something had to happen in Jacob's life. He had to have an encounter with the living God before he made the change in his heart. We find the story. We're going to catch up here at chapter 32 in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And this is a fast forward. This is the place where Jacob wrestles with God, or he wrestles with the angel. What's interesting here is that Jacob's name is deceiver. He was a supplanter. The Bible says that when he was a twin, and when his mama had the Esau came out first, and we know through the Old Testament that the blessing came through the firstborn of the Old Testament, and it says that Jacob got a hold of Esau's heel on his way out of his mama's womb. He's like, he's like, he spent his whole time trying to be first, and it started in his mama's womb. He was a rascal. Verse 22, it says, that night, chapter 32, verse 22, that night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." That man asked, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man answered, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. And so Jacob called the place Peniel saying, it is because I saw God face to face and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. I really, instead of saying a trusting heart for the title of my message, I wanted to entitle it, Do You Need Hip Surgery? There was a famous artist, Victorian artist. His name was James Whistler, and his poodle fell sick to a throat infection. The artist sent immediately for the country's leading physician, the ear, nose, and throat specialist, Dr. Morrell McKenzie. And when he arrived at his house, he was not amused when he found that his patient was a poodle. But as a good doctor was, he conducted a thorough examination, wrote a prescription, and collected his fee and left the house. The next day, Dr. McKenzie sent the artist James Whistler a message, and he asked him to call on him immediately without delay. And fearing something had happened, maybe with his poodle condition, Mr. Whistler hurried to the doctor's house. "So good of you to come, Mr. Whistler," the doctor said as the visitor was shown him. "I would like to see if you would mind painting my door for me." Well, Dr. McKenzie got his revenge, and he made his point effectively. What I'd like to say is, we don't always value the same. We don't value things or our animals or life all together. I would say many of us have different value systems. When it comes to God, and when it comes to the things of this world, when it comes to our possessions, and not everybody values what you value. But the biggest challenge that you will have in guarding your heart and having a heart for God is to have God speak into your value system to where you value the same things that God values. This was Jacob's challenge. Jacob's challenge was to be able to see himself through God's lens, to see his situation and his circumstance through God's lens. More importantly, to see who he was and to see his heart from God's perspective. Chapter 32, he's worried about his brother Esau taking revenge on him because he got the birthright. He got all the inheritance, and Esau didn't get it. Esau, his brother, was a fighter. He was a killer. He was a hunter, and Jacob was scared to death of him. They'd been separated for many years. Then Jacob comes calling on Esau. Verse 9 of chapter 32, it says, Jacob prayed. Kind of what happens, right? When the going gets tough, he said, "Oh God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives and I'll make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and the faithfulness you have shown to your servants.'" He's saying all the right words here. Isn't it funny how when we get in trouble, we can say all the right things to God? "I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan." He said, "All I had when I crossed the Jordan was my staff. But now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid. He will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said," he said, "you have said, God, 'I will surely make you prosper. Will make you your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" Jacob is a classic example of actions speak louder than words. Instead of depending on God, Jacob immediately implements his own plan. I'm sure you've never done that. Many times we end up carrying a much heavier load than God intended. we tend to complicate our lives and allow worry and fear to prevail. Consequently, our productivity and progress is hampered by our own lack of faith and confidence in God that he will do what he said he would do. There was a missionary in the Philippines. He was driving along the road and he saw a man that he knew, and this man had a great big load on his back, and he was walking down the road, and the missionary had a flatbed pickup, and he said, "Would you like to get in the back of the truck and I'll take you where you need to go?" So the man got in the truck. As they were going down their way, the missionary looked in the rearview mirror and he saw the man was standing up in the back of the truck holding on to the deal, but he still had his backpack on his back. Isn't it something you can ask God to help you and to take all your burdens? You can ask him to do all that, but you're like, then you get in the truck and you leave it all on, and you're carrying it anyway. This is where Jacob was. He was like, I got this. So despite his new circumstances, the farmer was still carrying the same old load. We really shouldn't be surprised at Jacob's attempt of self-sufficiency, because there is a pattern. There's a pattern for his whole life. And you might be even just be able to sum it up in this one statement, that God helps them that. Well, it's a very famous little saying. God helps them to help themselves. And the problem with it is, number one, it's not biblical. Number two, it's not correct, because you don't make yourself. There is actually no such thing as a self-made man. You didn't make yourself. And if you got a problem, or if you need to be fixed, you might think about going to the one who created you, because the one who made you and the one who makes a thing is the one who can fix the thing. And we go to a lot of different places. And this is where Jacob got sidetracked with his stuff. Jacob's philosophy was flawed, foolish. So we have in chapter 27, Jacob was promised the status of the firstborn son. God was going to make it all happen for him, and did. But instead of waiting on God, he got ahead of God and he sought to obtain the blessing through his own deceit. Do we have any impatient people out there? My name's Randy Weaver. I used to think I wasn't impatient until everybody told me I was, and now I got to deal with it. Back in chapter 30, verse 37, Jacob was promised material provision for his life, but instead of trusting God, he tried to obtain it through manipulation and deception. Chapter 31, Jacob was promised protection by God, but instead of trusting God, he relied upon his own deceit and speed to try to outrun Laban, his father-in-law. Here in chapter 32, Jacob is facing a crisis with his brother Esau, and once again, he turns to his own resources rather than trusting God. He first of all tries to use flattery, which didn't work, and so he tries bribery to appease Esau with his presence to resolve a crisis when God had already taken care of it. You may look at all these situations and say, what's wrong with that? And this is why this sermon is a hard sermon to preach, because it all boils down to your heart. How do you talk to somebody about their heart condition when they have walked through life and they know no other way but to do it themselves, because they've never depended on God? They don't know how good it could be. You see, just because we have things doesn't mean that we have God. Just because we can navigate through life without God doesn't mean that we can't have eternal life. Listen, we have got to give God our life and our heart and our will. That's really what baptism is all about. When you go down in the water, you're dying out to yourself. and then you come up out of the water, coming up in the newness of life. It's a covenant with your Creator. This is all God was wanting from Jacob, was for Jacob to live in a covenant relationship with Him where he would let God have His way in his life. Jacob here is supposed to be God's chosen leader. God has put a tremendous amount of faith in Jacob. You think about it. But here we find that Jacob is kind of like, he's kind of like Grape Nuts cereal. He's kind of like Christian Scientist. Like Grape Nuts cereal that's not grapes or nuts. And Christian Scientists, they're not Christians or scientists. And here's Jacob. He's trying to pretend to be somebody that he's not. And in our world today, we realize that that's an actor. That's a hypocrite. Someone who pretends to be. Now, if you're a hypocrite this morning and you pretend to be something that you're not, we're glad you're here because the church needs more hypocrites here so God can get a hold of them. Amen? So, enjoy the service. We love hypocrites. We do, because God loves them, right? I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to be funny anyway. But here we have Jacob, and he had different faces. He was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. He would put on for different situations. You either liked him or didn't like him. You could either relate to him or you couldn't relate to him at all. Jacob was he was a deceiver. Jacob was the kind of person that he could enter a revolving door ahead of you, and by the time you got to the other side, he'd be in front of you. Up until now, Jacob had God as kind of a lucky rabbit's foot. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Kind of a lucky, but when he actually wrestles with the angel or with God, he finally opens up to God's plan, and actually he recognizes his desperation because his situation is what caused his desperation. Have you ever been there? It's much easier to call on God when you're in trouble. When you get down there, oh, God, help me, God. God spoke to my heart one time. He said, Randy, if you will seek me in the good times, like you do in the bad times, you won't have near as many bad times. Don't have God just as your insurance policy for heaven. Don't have him just as a little fire insurance. Keep you out of hell. God wants a relationship with you. He wanted a relationship with Jacob. He wanted Jacob to be the man of God that God created him to be, not the man that his environment that he grew up in dictated to him. His mama told him some things that messed him up. His daddy and his granddaddy, they did things that just, you say, well, you're talking about Abraham. You read it. They were a little bit jacked themselves. In our studies, we realize Jacob cheated his brother, conned his father and his brother, swindled his father-in-law. Fortunately for Jacob, somebody liked him. You know who that was, don't you? God liked him. Wow. Jacob's about to have an encounter with God. Remember, he's expecting to meet and fight with his brother Esau. Instead, he'll meet and he'll fight and wrestle with the living God. He would never be the same again. His name would be changed forever from Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel, the blessed one. His body would be changed. However, from now on, he would forever be disabled. He would walk with a limp. More importantly, his heart would be changed. God would change him from the scheming to the trusting. Jacob needed to learn the same lesson all Christians have to learn, that we must walk by faith, not by sight. that we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, not just when we get desperate, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct our path. He needed to understand the perfect love drives out all fear. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, I can't get past this. He sent his wives and his kids across the stream toward Esau. And then, in order of his priorities, he sent his possessions next. Stay with me. Then he stayed on the other side for a little bit. Now listen to what it says. It says, so Jacob was left alone. For his encounter with God, Jacob moves his family ahead of him. Jacob is now left alone. Christian bookstores are full of stories about people who hit rock bottom and came out of it. Says that he wrestled with the angel. and he told the angel, he said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the Bible says that God did surgery on his hip socket. And said he came out of the fight with the angel of God. And he, from that day forward, you know, they didn't have any golf carts or four-wheelers or vehicles. He had to walk everywhere he went. And every step he took was a reminder of his encounter with God. I imagine God knew that he needed to remind Jacob more often that he needed God. And I read in the scripture, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, he's not saying that you need to literally do that. But the message is, whatever it takes for you to have a heart for God, it's worth it. Theologically, I'm not speaking into your life personally because that's not my job. God will speak to you individually about your situation. Y'all with me? But all I know is that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. That we would be better off going through life with one eye and making it to heaven than having both eyes and not making it to heaven. We'd be better off needing thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. I can't get around very good, but my cup's running over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to have me a new hip when I get to heaven. I'm going to be able to see 2020 when I get to heaven. Everything's going to be all right. I may be a little bit crippled down here, but everything's going to be all right when I get to heaven, because I'm going to have a new body. I'm not going to have this assistance anymore, because God, my great physician, will be there. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you're more interested in the condition of our heart than anything else in the world. Help us to understand that the beauty of having a heart that is pure before you. Lord, we repent of the distractions that we've allowed to come into our lives, the deception that we've bought into. Help us, Lord, to see through eyes of faith a Father that loves us through all of our issues, through all of our problems, a Father that will never leave us, that will never forsake us, that will be a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. And as we go through life and as we walk through the issues of life, Lord, that we would be desperate for you every moment of every day. Not that our desperation would cause us to seek after you, but Lord, that our life, oh God, we would understand that it's only through you that we live and move and have our being. Thank you, Lord, for everybody here. God, please, if necessary, give us heart surgery. In Jesus' name, I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest privilege that you as a human being will ever have is the privilege of asking the God that created you to come into your life and to be the Lord of your life. There's a covenant that each and every one of us must make with God if we want to have him as our Savior. Jacob had a lot of life behind him before he ever really fulfilled that covenant that God had for him. But just as he wrestled with God, God is calling you to wrestle today. Because the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. You see, the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to serve God. There's a battle going on right now for your soul. This morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need God in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. Yep, leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it, please. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me." Anybody else? Anybody? Yep, thank you back there. I appreciate it. God bless you. Leave your hand up till you get a Bible. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life." You put your hand down. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. It's a gift of God. There's no, like in this world, there's a lot of catches to things. And generally, free isn't free. But let me tell you something. Jesus paid it all. And this is actually something that's free, because he already paid the price for your salvation. Anybody else? Before we move on. Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? Would you mind coming up and letting me pray with you back in the back? Come on. Come on. I'd love to pray with you. I'm so excited for y'all. It's a great day. Yes, your heart. What's your name? Thanks for coming up. So proud of you. What a gift. It's been a great day. My goodness. How are you? Tell me your name. Amanda.
Yes.
Thanks for coming up. Look here. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised you from the dead, that we'll be saved. I'm telling you. I don't know if you can comprehend this or not, but I do believe this, that if you were the only one on the face of the earth, Jesus would have went to the cross for you to forgive your sins. It's hard to comprehend, but I really believe that. That's a love that we don't get around on this earth. But I just want to challenge you. Here's what it says: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. Have you ever wondered what the true religion is? You're like, what's the true religion? Everybody wonders that. I know I, but I'm going to go with the one who is the God of the resurrection. The one who, like, when we die, he can take care of that dead business too. You with me? You know, Buddha, Muhammad, none of them guys, they're still down there. But Jesus, he rose from the dead. That's the test right there. That's what I'm going with. So let me help you pray. And I want you to repeat after me, okay? But I want you to believe in your heart, okay? Just say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now look here. Here's the challenge for you. You know we all have habits. You with me? We all got habits. Some are good habits, some aren't so good. Coming to church is a good habit. It's not like your mom and daddy said, you gotta go to church. Coming to church gets you in the presence of God. You know what I'm talking about. About 3 or 4 months, you're gonna like, man, I'm tired. I don't wanna get up Sunday morning. That's when you say no to the way you feel. You say, I'm going anyway. Because don't live your life by how you feel. Yeah. Feelings are good when it happens, but live your life by faith and by the facts. The facts is the word of God. And let that run your life. Don't let this old world try to take you in a lot of circles. As old Jacob, he is like, he like ran and ran and ran. Finally, he got it right. And y'all got it right this morning. And I'm proud of you for it. So proud of you. Welcome to the kingdom of God. And don't look back. Don't look back. Go visit these ladies for just a second. Thank you. Bless you. You're sure welcome. Stand with me, please. We have our prayer team. If anybody has any prayers, we believe in miracles around here, right? So we got a prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, love to have you. I want to ask you a question, though, before we go. There's some of y'all in the room that you have, I don't know how to say this nice, so I'm just going to say it, but you're kind of mad at God because he didn't do things the way you thought he should have done it in certain circumstances. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the father of deception. And what happens is he deceives us into thinking that things are God's fault when it's not God's fault at all. He says, in this world, you'll have trouble. We're going to have troubles in this world. Anybody know about that? So how many say, preacher, I've been kind of angry toward God. And I know that I'm the only one that's hurting from it. Y'all with me? So I'm gonna let go of my anger. I'm gonna let go of my disappointment, and I'm just gonna give it to God, and I'm gonna walk in peace with God.
and with man. Raise your hand. Preacher, that's me. I'm going to do this. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of y'all. Let me pray for you. Everybody raise your hands. Raise your other hand. Everybody that didn't raise your hand, let's raise both hands. Let's just surrender to God. Lord, we surrender to you knowing that you do all things well. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. I thank you, Lord, for the story of Jacob, that you were patient with Jacob through his life and that you you embraced the process with him. I thank you, Lord, that you are embracing the process with us. Help us, oh God. Please give us your divine revelation as we wrestle with things in life, that you would help us, Lord, to allow you to have your way in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, and in our souls. May we always be faithful to you. And we thank you for it. We speak victory. We thank you, Lord, for these two ladies that come and gave their hearts to you. Just bless them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless y'all. We love you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you so much.